All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome once again to the B Team. Today, I'm joined by Zachary Matthews. What's up, Zach?
You mean Alpha Intergalactic Lore Master 2000 Until Defeated?
Oh, please don't bring that up.
Love you, buddy.
I don't even care that I lost. It's just I just really don't want anyone to listen. Have to listen to that. Official store championship winner Paul Adler here too. What's up, Paul?
Hi, how's it going?
How's it feel, dude?
Oh, it just feels amazing.
It didn't seem like you felt amazing after you won it.
Yeah, well, when you have to natties to get it, it kind of loses its...
That's the best way!
Yeah, natties is a valid strategy, bro.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Alright, and so then we have the one non-scrub here as well, Philip Horney, System Open Champion. What's up, Phil?
What's going on? I can't guarantee I'm not a scrub, but...
Oh.
I would say, technically, it was, I've won a store championship in that neighborhood.
Hey, he had to beat Paul Heber to pull that thing off, Zach. That's fair. No easy feat.
I'm 1-0 against Paul, and I tabled him, so I don't feel like that's that big a deal.
Was it pretty easy?
Yeah, too easy. The secret is get a practice game against him first.
All right, so how about that last Jedi? Oh, God.
Blair, I wanted to jump in and help you, and I'm like, but this was recorded weeks ago, and I can't. Of all the times not to have me come on and just agree with you.
Hey, I don't care. People like it. I'm really happy if people like it.
Yeah.
I'm happy for them. I didn't, but that's okay. Yeah. So, I guess we'll jump right in. Phil, man, you won a System Open. You won it with a list that, I don't know,
it's
I
awesome.
Feel like is a pretty... I think by the meta standards, I would say it's pretty wholesome. I would, which I know that might sound weird me saying that because I railed on Kylo when he was released, but that's my thoughts. Why don't you just go ahead and take us back to how this list was created and why you felt like bringing it?
Yeah, I mean, wholesome. I mean, it feels wholesome when you play it. It kind of feels like X-Wing when it first came out, where you're pointing arcs at ships. Except you have Kylo Ren with advanced sensors doing whatever he wants. And I guess quick draw can fire twice, so that's not really like X-Wing Beginnings either. And I guess Countdown can, you know, evade an entire harpoon missile and avoid harpoon condition.
No, but you played Imperials, so it's fine and moral.
Exactly. but I couldn't token stack. Focus yeah. evade, so yep. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, yeah, I hated. I still think Kylo was a horrible design choice, but I mean, there's no arcs left for him to dodge. So, I hated that they released him, but like watching those games that you and Paul played, I mean, the more I watched, the more I felt like it was a skill list. So, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, so when Kylo first came out, I was on the other side of the fence. So I thought, this guy sucks. 47 points, he's not going to do enough. Uh-huh. And when I first played him, it kind of turned out that way. But then once I started getting into Quick Draw, finally, after ignoring him for a very long time, I realized that Quick Draw and Kylo... we're pretty much exactly the team that Kylo Ren needed.
And why is that?
So the big issue with Kylo is he does not deal enough damage to account for 47 points. Mm. And so Quick Draw is, you know, essentially two ships in one when he's firing. At least for a couple rounds.
For a couple rounds. Ideally.
Exactly. And he draws enough hate.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you have Quick Draw on the front. People... pretty much have to handle him, and Kylo Ren gets in the rear. Does his advance sensors shenanigans, target lock focus, gets his range one shots pretty much whenever he wants.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the gist of what made it start working. I mean, this was... And I found I liked Kylo and Quickdraw next to each other, I don't know, a while ago. It was just finding that third ship. I mean, I had toyed around with Epsilon Ace for a while.
Was that a PS12, bro?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty neat. I thought that would be the call.
Yeah, I thought that. I mean, there's a good list. But I don't know. My my friend Brian. I don't know if you guys know Brian.
Psycho.
Yeah, Psycho. Yeah, Brian Thiel. Uh-huh. Yeah, he. I don't know. He was kind of playing a Vassal with a list with that the list we were playing with. Wait, Countdown.
What is Brian's last name?
I think it. You know, I just spent a whole weekend with him, and I.
It's not Brian England, is it?
No, Brian Thiel.
Okay, I don't know if I know that Brian.
Yeah, you might. I don't know. Were you at Origins? Yeah.
Yeah. Not this year.
You weren't this year. You were there. No, maybe you were.
The only Origins I went to was the one Duncan won.
Ah, I see. That's the only one that didn't matter.
That's literally where the crate started. So,
the so largest thread on the matter.
Forum. The largest thread on the forums begs to differ.
Like, I swear, you guys have always been around, but that wasn't that long ago. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, Kylo, Quick Draw, it's a good combo. You could probably fit any third ship and do pretty well. I mean, one guy in Europe, the European System Open, did it with Epsilon Ace. With the fatter Kylo Ren. But, I mean, just putting in Countdown, I mean, it turned out to be a pretty good meta choice for the System Open at Origins.
There actually, there was a gentleman who made it deep into Day 2 at Worlds, playing Kylo Quickdraw in a bid.
And a bid. Oh, shit.
Wow.
Gets a Harpoon Missile on Quick Draw then, right? Double advanced yeah. Optics. I mean, that's pretty good.
Dennis Kylo's fatter than Miranda.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, so yeah, Countdown, it turned out to be a pretty good meta call for that System Open, because I think every single list I played against had a Harpoon Missile user in it. So he either at least... At least one player I played against didn't understand Quick Countdown's ability till it was too late, and he fired the Harpoon Missile.
Oh.
And then there were a couple that like had no choice and just were like, well, we have to kill Countdown, so let's fire the Harpoon Missile at him.
What were they carrying that they didn't have an option? Was it like gunboats?
It was just like positioning. You know, like he's like right in front of them and it's going to block them perpetually or something like that. So I mean, there's good things about Countdown. I mean,
I already forgot what pilot skill is he.
He's five. Oh yeah, that's the other good part, because he matches Lorik's, Lorik and Ezra's pilot skill.
Oh yeah, and because your other ships are nine, you can take initiative in that game.
Yeah, and sort of. So it's a 100 point list. I don't always get to choose initiative. Adaptability on Quick Draw.
Oh, that's right. That's why I thought Epsilon. I haven't thought about 1.0 in a bit, but Epsilon Ace or Leader or whatever is cheaper, right?
It's only 17 points.
Yeah. So you can get him. You can actually take Optics on him and have a bid if you want, or just have a fatter Kylo. Because you cut. You don't have the title on Kylo either, do you? Yours is 45?
I cut Optics to put the title on.
Interesting. Okay. Care to talk about that decision? Because that's... the majority of the people I talk to are super sold on Optics as the one you're going to keep if you're going to cut one of the two. Really? Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, the title seems like a no-brainer to me. If you're on the flank, you get a free focus. I mean, sorry, free reroll on offense. And especially if he's your last ship, which he should be if you're playing him right, you get free damage from him, free rerolls. And, I mean, there were plenty of times where about to die, and I spend that title and get that extra evade. So it kind of feels like good insurance.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Optics is fine. You get, it's really like an alpha strike ability for Kylo Ren, though. Like, you just come into the fight with a target lock and a focus, and you get to barrel roll beforehand or boost or something. But you end up spending that focus every round anyway, unless you're disengaging. But if you're playing a list or accompanying ships like Quick Draw or, yeah, like Quick Draw stays in the fight the entire time, so you really need Kylo Ren also staying in the fight. So you're never using advanced optics because you're spending that focus every single round. So you end up with a lot more value from the title. In my experience.
So, Paul, you guys are probably wondering why I brought him on. You've never heard of him. Maybe you have, Phil.
Maybe.
So you're basically like Paul's idol, Phil. So he, like, begged me to let him come on.
No.
So that's like the only reason he's here. Is that right, Paul?
Oh, totally.
We haven't met Paul, have we?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I go by Interceptor online, though.
No way! Hey, Interceptor.
Now, he was watching you at Worlds 2 years ago, Phil, though, and then he came back and was, like, telling me all about your games. Like, man, Phil did this, he did that, he was flying Whisper like a boss. And so then we went to a store champ last week. And he's like, yeah, Phil won a system open with this, so I think I'm going to fly it.
And what'd you think? I mean, Blair, I think there's a secret story here, because Interceptor and I talk on Vassal all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been flying the list for quite a while, actually. I saw Brian flying it online first. That's where I thought, oh, shoot, that looks really, really good. Let's try that.
And was it?
Yeah. Once you not stop scrubbing out.
As long as you don't put Countdown on a rock on the first turn, it's pretty good, right? Or fly her off the board when she's full.
Yeah.
That's surprisingly easy to do, though.
No, it's really good, especially after, like, I don't know, more than 6 months of flying her. Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I mean, it's good. Yeah, I mean, you said it's a skill list, but honestly, it feels like it's not that hard.
I mean, that's all of the 1.0 lists. So it's like a weighted curve now.
Right. it's just harder against some lists, like the fat Miranda lists, like the Ezra version. I mean, I think I've only been able to beat that because I came up with a strategy to, like, joust with Quick Draw in a weird way, and the opponents just usually don't figure out how to deal with it the first time they play against that strategy. And so if I ever play them a second time, they probably will win. So I think I only get one victory versus every Miranda list.
Have you figured out how to resolve the lower curling natties thing?
Oh yeah, if he doesn't roll natties on evades, I pretty much win every time.
Okay.
So is that the hardest matchup, you think, then, Phil?
I mean, it's one of the hardest. I mean, I've probably beat it more than I've lost to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on which version. The one with Snapshot Ezra, all the ships happen to match point cost of all the ships in the Kylo Countdown Quick Draw list. Like, it's the Miranda's not quite as fat, 45 points, Kylo's 45 points, so you can more likely get to a tie scenario, or if you kill Lorik and lose Countdown, you're in the lead and you probably just run away.
Yeah. You got the lead in the salvo too.
Yeah,
exactly. So that you beat that one. The 100 point Miranda list with like 47 or 48 point Mirandas, I mean, you pretty much have to kill everything to win. So that's probably slightly harder.
I actually built the Invitational list with Fenn. I adapted Fenn to 10 and put Tactician on him because Kylo was popular at the time. So it was some Kylo insurance. And also because those were the only ships I had packed at the Invitational. But that's part of how we got there, is Fenn came in for Kylo.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, Fenn's pretty good. I mean, so when I played against Paul at the Origins, right, and I haphazardly killed his Fenn early. My target's usually Lorik, just because Lorik's, you can't kill anything if Lorik's alive, and he's got draw their fire or selflessness, so I usually aim to shoot that ship first to prevent the damage spreading. But yeah, I haphazardly killed Fenn, and then Paul and I played on our Vassal League match, and I went for Lorik this time, and he played his Fenn a little smarter, and Fenn, like, demolished me.
Yeah, you can sneak shots into Fenn sometimes, like...
Yeah.
In all my really awesome games of playing versus Nathan with 100-point Khorne, I've found that, too. That every now and again, you'll just find Fenn out on a limb, and it's like, well, I can kill Fenn in two turns before he gets back to Lorik.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems to be the right strategy for some against Fenn. I think leaving him alive is probably a mistake.
It's really board state dependent. I mean, as bad of a 1.0 game as it is, it's like you at least get to make a decision. Like, going on autopilot is actually the wrong decision.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Good point. I agree.
All right. Well, anything else you guys want to discuss about
the list? Good. I was going to segue into 2.0 talks.
So all right. Just let me know we can do that if no one's got anything else.
I mean, I think the only closing argument was 1.0 finally reached a state where people were just playing to time. And if you embraced that, you did better than everyone else.
I mean, I think it had been that way for a while, and the rest of us were just wrong for not realizing it.
Exactly. I think I finally realized it.
Yeah. Like, because, like, if you look at the, like, 2015 Worlds, that final table of Nathan versus Paul, and it's like, you know, Nathan sitting there with a 48-point regen fortress and a 36-point regen fortress or 37-point. And Paul said, like, one of the features of Poe was that he cost more than Soontir, who was, like... Soontir was pure because someone stumbled on a more expensive point fortress. And that's why he wasn't cancer and was clearly completely fine.
It's gotten to the point where I struggle to try to find any other ace builds other than Kylo, because Kylo can just, oh, you've got regenning, whatever, damage mitigation. Oh, well, if Kylo just outpoints you, then I'm safe, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, X7 defenders are still impossible to kill, but, you know, Kylo Ren's more points than an X7 defender, so you just don't kill him. You just run away. You do that with as big of a smile as you can.
You should see the smiles on the other side of the table.
The Jumpmaster and Atani died for our sins, but we didn't know it at the time.
I mean, I don't know if I'm gonna miss it or not, because I was finally embracing it, and it was fine once I embraced it, but I probably won't miss it. I mean, it's still gonna happen, right? But who knows what they'll do with the tournament rules. I don't know if they talked about that at all. I don't think there's any releases.
Well, there's still Final Salvo. We have that to look forward to. No draws. Sit in a fortress.
That's good. The saving graces. There's one more point, or there's double the granularity for draws to happen. So it's less likely to happen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, go ahead, Zach. Let's hear your segue.
So, I was going to ask, because, I mean, since you did win a system open with Kylo, and, you know, looking at 2.0, one of the cards that's really jumped out to us, especially in lieu of this tournament at Gen Con, is Supernatural Reflexes, which is advanced sensors and push the limit stapled to the same card, but only for the ships that have built-in passive mods. Thoughts on... how that affects our much, you know, our allegedly more fair 2.0. Wow. And are you, I mean, is that something that's caught your attention? Are you excited for it? Thoughts, feelings? I'm dubbing you the best Advanced Centers Kylo player now because I'm talking to you.
So, one thing, Zach, It's actually even better than Advanced Sensors Push the Limit stapled together, because Kylo has to boost barrel roll either both before he moves or after he moves. With Vader, like, if my whole swarm is facing Vader, like, right at range 3 or just beyond, he can just, like, dial in, like, a hard left, hard left 3, boost right, hard left 3, then barrel roll after moving. There's, like, there's no ships in 2.0 that can do that.
But Blair, he takes a whole damage from that.
He does take a damage. And I think that is,
if he does,
like,
it in the other way around, he doesn't, but...
If he... Well, if he Vader doesn't have boost.
Then, yeah, afterburners exist.
Afterburners do exist, yeah.
Yeah, but... That's got limited charges. Who wants that?
But I have to make decisions! Decisions are the enemy.
I mean, so that's kind of a segue, is supernatural reflexes. You get to do that every single round. Why would I ever pick afterburners when I can supernatural reflexes every single round?
I mean, por que no los dos?
Yeah, I guess.
That's why not both, for those of you who don't speak Spanish.
Sure.
But, and yeah, it does seem really good. And the other reason why, like, I'm actually not worried about it, like, killing 2.0 or anything. I just crankily said passive mods, but it's not auto thrusters, right? So, like, you still got to roll that. And it's a resource that runs out. So, yeah, so, I mentioned earlier, I'm retired from 2.0, having been 1-0 against Nathan now. But, like, he was playing Supernatural Vader, and I was playing Scum Stuff, and it was like... I just kept putting shots on Vader, and he's like, all of a sudden he's looking, he's like, oh, I want a supernatural, but then I won't have any force.
You're right. That sounds like a decision. I mean, I guess you could still run, is Advanced Sensor still a card? I haven't checked.
It is.
It is, but it's limited to single action.
Yes, you can't do a linked action.
Yeah, because FFG hates our B-Wings.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you still could supernatural reflexes and advanced sensors.
Does the timing work on that?
I don't know. Judge? It says,
I know advanced sensors says no more actions.
Well, it depends. If supernatural reflexes happens first.
Oh, wait. Actually, I might know the answer to this. Player, is it in the document? Is supernatural reflexes in the document you sent us?
Yeah, so Advanced Sensor says before you reveal your dial. Supernatural Reflex says before you activate. So
like
I would think
first.
Supernatural
oh, shit.
Comes first.
It's a KFC double down of busted.
Yeah, so it sounds
So Vader can do this right out of the box. Vader can Advanced Sensors Supernatural for two actions before he...
Well, do we know that
Advanced Sensors will... I mean, it did in 1.0, and I think the Quick Build card has fire control systems.
Yeah,
I know this, either the Quick Build or the Stream card does. Like, the Quick Builds aren't gospel, because, I think we've seen a lot of ships with almost every ship with two mod slots on them, and I don't know if that's going to be a thing. I mean, I guess maybe just a lot of ships have two mod slots, but I would be surprised at the number of, quick build cards that have two mod slots, if two mod slots was a thing. I assume it's just so you can use all the cards in the pack, because that's its stated goal.
So Vader gets ATC and advanced sensors. And...
Well, I just realized he won't be able to Vader off advanced sensors, so it's not quite as exciting as it sounds.
Sure.
Because advanced sensors...
He can't
sensors,
Vader off it, but he can supernatural and then advanced sensors.
I mean, he can double action before he moves without spending force, which is still pretty potent.
Well, he has to spend a force for a supernatural.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so one. He doesn't have to dip below his natural.
But I don't know. Region. I think with ATC, you'd be kind of tempted to take that SCS.
It does naturally combo.
Yeah, that'd be pretty nasty.
Yeah, I could agree with that. So you'd probably run FCS and Supernatural, so you could avoid being blocked, so you can get that target lock.
But I thought I heard or read that, like, Vader was, like, something like 96 points in that, on that stream loadout with the four crack blacks.
That's 20 points more than he is now. Of 1.0 points.
Yeah. That's just what I read. They said, I mean, one thing they've been saying a lot is, like, the Force users are super, super expensive. So...
Yeah, they do seem to have, like, I super trust the devs. They, like, they know what they've done here.
I mean, you can't, I don't know. So, the only fear, the perk of having more points, right, is that in a timed game, you're more likely to win on time. So, I mean, is that a flaw that you get them up to 51.0 points? I mean,
it's so crazy how this last meta, like, it used to be you didn't want expensive ships, but now this, like, meta that we're in.
Right, we're on this mindset.
Like, at our hyperspace that we just had at Seattle, like, the guy that won it put extra munitions on his Miranda just to get him up over the rest of the Mirandas, and... Yep. And that was the difference in the tournament for him. That won him the tournament. Because he had, like, two games that came down to Miranda on Miranda.
Oh, my
and
God.
He ended up winning points.
With my invitational list, I put extra munitions on there because that Miranda was supposed to be able to fly on her own. And the chips, because the idea if I came up against 3B Cutie, I'd break her off and make them decide. But then I was like, oh, bonus. She's fatter than everything now. Like, I think by Worlds, I was talking to Paul, and his Miranda was up to, like, 48 points. I was talking to Nathan, who was trying to find ways to get his corn over 50 points by Worlds.
Throw that proton torp on there.
Well, because I remember during his top four game against Sim, if he had killed that Brobot, he would have forced a final salvo against another Brobot. Like, that just seems insane.
Yeah, that's amazing. And like, I think the design decision is, right, that swarms will be better. I mean, the TIE swarms surely looks better. You get a bunch of three dice TIE fighter ships.
You get two Howl runners, which is really cool.
Yeah, and
don't trigger Tyler, Zach.
What?
Don't trigger Tyler now.
Oh, sorry. I know he hates evidence based analysis. Love you, Tyler.
But I mean,
actually, like, I'm gonna see Tyler like in 2 days.
Sure. Oh yeah, where are you going to?
Middle of Illinois.
Why?
So a while ago, I said on the Crate Cast that if someone held like a barbecue, and just invite a bunch of X-Wing players, I would totally go. So Johannes is hosting one instead of he has a store championship, which I'm not playing in. But I am going for the barbecue.
That sounds
fun. Johannes is a good guy.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm maintaining my not playing 1.0 anymore, so.
Oh, Zach.
So sad.
Zach, come on, there's Cavern Angel Zealots on the line.
With, I'm running two for my local stores, so I'm going to get the sweet credit card and everything and the juke. But, yeah, man, I mean, especially with how I went out on stream, man, like... Like, look, I might be from Wisconsin and I grew up idolizing Brett Favre, but man, I learned how to retire from something, man.
Oh, God.
I mean, if I show up in New York and play 1.0, just take my cell phone from me. Some people will get that joke.
I get it. That's inappropriate for B Team, Zach.
Oh, my bad. Wait, do I need to watch my language on this one?
Well, you're supposed to watch your language on the last one when you drop like 8 F-bombs, but that's okay. We can edit it.
8 is low for me. I was good.
You were a bad influence on Tyler and Ricky, too, because they just started going off. Like, I'm just sitting like, God dang it. Edit all this out.
I mean, editing's for nerds, but
it is.
I love you, Blair.
Yeah, we do everything live here. Yeah, cool. So that means you won't be at Gen Con. Blair, will you be at Gen Con?
I'm not going to be at Gen Con. I will be at Coruscant, though, for the Super Serious tournament.
Yeah, that's right. I saw the last 5 minutes of your stream where you couldn't kill a one-hole Vader. And that was very, I was very disappointed because I was like, oh, Blair's totally got this.
That's, well, that happened at your regional too, didn't it?
I don't know if he was down to, I don't think he was down to one hole. I think,
or no, like... he was, he was just out of your missile range.
Nah.
Oh, no, that was quick draw in the opening.
Okay. Yeah, I lived still,
I still should have got quick draw. I really got variance in that game, but I shouldn't have been there in the finals in the first place, so it's all good.
It's awesome.
All right, what other 2.0 stuff can we talk about? Anything?
And it's so hard with what we know, right? Like,
yeah, I know.
We know all the so one thing that jumped out at me is so looking at all the threat cards, supposedly 8 threat is supposed to equal about 200 points. So if that's the case, if you look at the Rebel Y-Wing, it's like fully loaded out for 2 threat. Let me see if I can find it in the Carolina Crates is the best X-Wing podcast thread here where all the pictures are. But like if that thing is less than a quarter of your list, like that would, if you told me that, like that is more than a quarter of your list in 1.0. So that's like, I guess, I mean, we're trying to extrapolate from what we can see, right? So that was one of the first things that jumped out at me. I was like, oh, like are Y-Wings sneaky, like good values now? Which, I mean, I'd be hyped about.
Is that the expert handling ion turret R5 proton bomb Y-Wing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Huh.
Right? Like, are they telling me I should be able to take 4 of those and 200 points? And then like, okay, what if I don't want expert handling? Like, how much, what does that add up to? So, because I mean, like, okay, cool. I've got baby shadow casters with bombs. I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, like you said, it's tough. It's really tough without knowing the points. I mean, do we know that 7 ties can fit in a swarm yet? I don't know. I mean, we kind of extrapolate that from what they said, but how many name ties can I fit?
Someone claimed somewhere in one of the X-Wing threads, I think it's in the same one, that they're 25 for the Academy, so you can at least have the Ocho.
Okay, good.
And apparently R2-D2 is 10 points and R5-D8 is 7, according to the Squad Builder screenshot. That's definitely not just a placeholder. What's great about that Squad Builder app is it's that looks like an iPod Touch, but then like the frame of the Squad Builder looks like an old motor, like one of the Motorola G phones. I used to repair phones, so I pay way too much attention to that, like... Those little new, like, oh, cell phone, how do I take it apart?
So, I mean, let's see. Some stuff in here. Elusive. If I remember, that was pretty good.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's definitely better than it was in 1.0. Like, it's weird how they, like, translated it for 1.0, because you know, 1.0, you took a stress, and now you have to do a red maneuver.
Yeah.
But, I mean, anyone, like... That might be your new defensive EPT, because anyone with a pretty good dial will be able to elusive regularly.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like better Lone Wolf now.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than 2.0 Lone Wolf, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Actually, now that I think about it hilariously, because all the B-Wings want to be doing red maneuvers or getting stressed, so maybe we're staping elusive to B-Wings?
Seems counterintuitive, but awesome.
I keep looking at the B-Wings. I mean, I'm guessing they keep the sensor slot, so I'm like, oh, cool. You can take advanced sensors, elusive, and, you know, dial in a K-turn, grab an action, and what is it? Braylon lets you re-roll two dice, and 10 numb is better K and Farlander or something.
Where is the B-Wing? Why can't I find you?
That's the conversion kit, right?
Yeah.
Content. So awesome. Honestly, I don't know how much I looked at the Rebel conversion.
All the Rebel stuff is super meh.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, I thought the same thing about the Imperial stuff, too.
All the Imperial crew seems really good, and they've got sweet chassis. Which, like, that was a stated goal. Actually, that was the thing I was going to ask you. So, So you had kind of been an Imperial Loyalist in 1.0? Like, I've seen you play other stuff, but, like, whatever you can, it seems like you play Imperials. But now Imperials and First Order are different. Are you going to go over to First Order afterward here?
I mean, first off, I'm a little disappointed that I can't combine the two. Second off, I'm disappointed I can't boost with the Decimator anymore. So what's the...
Yeah, it's almost like boosting turrets are really unfair and shouldn't have been in the game.
Boosting large base turrets? Nah.
Well, you know what? They're still in the game. So, poo on that. Just the Decimator can't do it.
You don't need to, though.
It's just Han. It's just Han.
Did they... I forget. Did they tell us what Reinforce for 2.0 does?
It's the same, except you have to take at least one damage if one... If your opponent rolls one hit or more.
I don't want that.
Yeah, it's been... That's how it's been explained. Well, so the... Like, I don't think there's a rules reference for it, because the one that I'm unclear with, right, like, say I'm reinforcing with Lorik, which is obviously fair and good, and my opponent rolls one hit, and I natty the one of eight. Do I take a damage because I'm reinforcing?
Great question.
That was a good question. I think you don't, but...
So, we super need, like, we'll need the actual rule book to determine that.
But I think it said it, like, you reduce the damage to a minimum of one. So, I think that's, like, if you use the reinforce, you reduce the damage.
Yeah. The problem is it was, like, explained out loud conversationally.
Yeah.
And it was, like, we all kind of get it. And then, like, I immediately was, like, well, and especially, like, the fire spray, too, right? Like, the fire spray rolls two evade dice. So... Like, if a TIE fighter shoots a fire spray, what do?
Yeah, do you just automatically take a damage, or...?
It says a reinforced token reduces damage by one. So, yeah, I think if you don't use the reinforce, you don't have to worry about that.
Wait, so it reduces damage? Okay.
Reduces damage by one to a minimum of one.
Okay. I guess that kind of makes sense.
So if I get three hits, you roll one evade, and then... Or if I get two hits, you roll one evade, use the reinforce... You're still taking one.
Okay, but if you roll one hit and I roll one evade and I don't use the reinforce, I block it all.
You block it all.
And if you roll two hits and I roll one evade, my reinforce was stupid.
So Lorik can't natty on defense against a swarm.
I mean, I've been hoping for that my entire life. And
or at least since Hoth.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I definitely felt like it was a mistake that that wasn't 1.0, but, you know.
I mean, lots of mistakes were made with 1.0.
Unlimited bombs, I mean, that's probably number one.
One of my favorite things I saw this at Hoth last year, the one that Nathan took second at, is it was one of those mistakes from remade comics, but it was like, what are you guys doing? Oh, playtesting X-Wing? That seems really hard. No, we should be fine. And then the next one is just all palps and jump masks everywhere. Mistakes are made.
A tiny mind link everywhere.
Mind link was fine, though. That's the saddest part. Like, the thing is, people are like, oh, every list has mind link. I'm like, okay, but what about the other 97 points? Oh, well, it's three different ships in the mind link list, but I'm like... Like, isn't that a good thing, right? Like, if there were a 1-point upgrade in 1.0 that said literally take whatever ship you want, like, wouldn't that be good?
I mean...
Like, take whatever ship you want and play X-Wing in as intended with it.
I mean, before people were playing Jumpmasters, I mean, people were playing Guri, Talon Bane, and Palop, all with a Tiny Mind Link, and that was, like, a great list. And so you're right. People were pulling shitty lists out with it. Because of a tiny mind.
I mean, I enjoyed the crap out of Asajj and Two Fangs at, that's what I played at that Worlds. And, like, I really hope, so, like, the list I played against Nathan was a Bounty Hunter and Fen and Old Tarak, so I super hope that fits.
Yeah, I mean, it should, right? Sounds better.
Yeah.
Sounds legit.
Like, it fit in 1.0, and the Bounty Hunters were overcosted, and I could fit Tactician and Auto Thrusters, which are gone.
But they upgraded the Fire Spray a lot.
Yeah, they did. But did they upgrade it? Did they two Auto Thrusters upgrade it? I'm sorry. Did the two auto thrusters and a tiny mind link in the list upgrade it? That's the question.
Sure. Yes. It. I mean, it'll be costed appropriately, right? I mean, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Well, so Max said this at an interview, one of the Team Covenant ones that like got me pretty psyched, because he said like one of the things they did is they broke up the testing now, so that they can focus separately. Like apparently one team's just points. So like, I don't know. I like the, no, just the number of ways they've looked at things differently for 2.0. Like, you know, I started this off being cynical about supernatural reflexes, but like, honestly, like I'm still just super hype. Like they have demonstrated their understanding of this too many times to be wrong.
Sure. For now.
I hate to keep bringing this up, but like the final salvo is like, I think it's just the elephant in the room, and like, and I don't know what the answer is, but like, if I have a bunch of jousters, I probably out final salvo you, and it probably behooves me to fortress because I don't want to have to fly through the rocks. So I really don't know what the answer is, but I really think that is going to have to be addressed at some point, because there's just no reward for being aggressive and trying to go engage your opponent. In so many situations, it just benefits you to just not engage.
Well, obviously, they have to bring back Nim Miranda to fix that problem.
Yeah, the irony is that, Trajectory Simulator is still here. It solves the heck out of it. Oh, that's a cute fortress. What if I could throw infinite Sabine bombs into it?
I mean, you're right. I embraced fortressing when desired in 1.0, right? So, I mean, against those like palp shuttles that always fortress in the corner. I mean, you have to do the same until they get mad, right?
That's how Paul got second at the one regionally went to. He just brought palp aces and just fortress and. Waited for people to commit, and then got on another flank when they couldn't turn because of the rocks.
And there's a big... Yeah, I got my own three rocks, and then a giant 2x2 rock that I can move around.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're right. It's going to be the same problem for 2.0. Maybe they'll solve it.
I mean, hopefully just a more enjoyable game as a more enjoyable and balanced game as a whole. Like, because generally we're fortressing because we,
don't want to engage the...
Like, we don't want to engage and we didn't even want to play it, right? Like think about, like, Travis and Jeremy's game where they were both just like, nope, I'm out. But, like, if you feel like your inputs matter enough into the game state, like, I think your inclination is going to be to start trying to play it out more. I don't know, at least that's what I'm super hopeful about. And then also, like, if the ship count goes up anyway, like, your fortress plan becomes a lot less reliable?
I don't know, just about 2.0 in general. I mean, they might fix fortressing, they might not, but they've let stuff slip through the cracks, and, you know, they let first the Phantom happen, then Jumpmasters, then Bomblet. It just kept happening and happening. Like, it just... I don't know if I trust these designers that much.
Well, so I'm gonna, like, go on an extensive list here, and I'll tackle each of those. So the big one, because like some of them were tackled on this podcast, right? Like the big one was to like Phantoms. We pick on Phantoms, but like also that was basically the dev's first wave, and like FFG sort of effed up because like I don't think they planned it because the waves are out so far in advance. Like the game took off in popularity as they handed it to new designers. Like, the game was not that big yet, so I think their logic was, alright guys, see what happens, and then, I mean, they made a mistake on the first wave they designed, is the best way to put it, right? Like, so, but like, these guys have, one, they've been around for 5 years, and like, two, everything that wound up getting fixed on the Jumpmasters is fixable through the app, so they have that, and like, they talked about both that and with, what would you say, unlimited bombs? Like, they talked about both those on the interview here. Like, they trusted their feedback. Like, I guess they said the Jumpmaster, they were getting feedback, like, both ways. Like, it's too good or not good enough.
So they kind of left it in between. What do you do if you're a designer, right? Like, you show something to 50 people, and 10 of them don't comment, and 20 of them say this is busted as shit, and 20 of them say it's fine. We're sitting here talking about supernatural reflexes, and we're like, it's probably busted as shit. But also I can see a lot of ways it's fine, right? So, like, that's where they were with the Jumpmaster. Like, if you roll back just before that, like, people probably playtested it like it was a fat turret, because fat turrets are in the game.
Yeah.
And Dengar didn't make a good fat turret, and, like, Dengaru was crazy off the wall, like, took multiple people staring at it for months to piece together. So, like, it's not, like...
I agree with everything you said there, Zach. The one counter is, like, as soon as they released it, like, the forms blew up with, like, the triple torpedo boats. Like, everyone put that together from the start.
Also, like, the Fringer wasn't good. It was mediocre, but, like, Theorist was working with it. There were ways to work with it in niche ways, and then they take that, give it an insane dial, subtract 5 points just for one whole point, and then, I mean, there were warning signs that were there. Yeah. They weren't extremely obvious, but they were there, for sure.
It was clear power creep. Yeah. For sure, but yeah, that's. But also,
the Scum faction was bad back then.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, here's a new centerpiece for the Brobots and 4 Y-wing faction.
Yeah. I mean, really, like one. Well, I don't know if we can just say one ship, but for a while, like that was really the only. But probably until the last 2 or 3 waves, that was really the only like super broken ship that we had in the game. Everything else was...
It was the Jumpmaster and TLT, basically.
Yeah.
Where, like...
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, at the Atani Worlds, like, everyone was like, yeah, actually, you know, Atani's a little too powerful, but really it's the Jumpmaster and TLT that are the problems. But everything else, like, felt good. Like, Imperials were a little underrepresented, but they... Because, like, only Tyler made the top cut. But also, like, if you look at the top 32 and then the top 64, they start to pick up and even out a little. It wasn't like no one was playing them. And, I mean, when the best Imperial player switches to Scum, like, that'll happen. Like, you know, it's not Duncan's fault that it's not FFG's fault that Duncan played Scum there.
Yeah, I think, like, I can accept, like, mistakes being made. The big thing is, like, can you correct them? Can you learn from them? And it seems like they are. So I think
I think that's
the hope, and yeah, the app obviously can help make up for, hopefully can help make up for any mistakes that are made. So
the one that I think would be hilarious is if we ever get into a spot where like there's a point fortress again. I think it'd be hilarious if they cut its points. Like, let you put in more bad chips and upgrades. Let the players make the mistake. Look at these rooms for look at all this room for activities.
You brought up actually the solution right there. They'll just cut upgrade slots, right? And then you can't point fortress with it, and you also make it worse.
Yeah. I mean, that was such a stroke of brilliance on its own, is adding upgrade slots to that, because there's so many spots where they can like change little stuff or make like one of the things we were talking about, like. Because, like, we did a Mach 2.0 game on, you know, our podcast, and it was Bio against Tippet, and Bio was playing Defenders with Afterburners. I'm like, why the hell are you not playing Stealth Device on those things? Like, oh, look at your fair attack dice that aren't modded like crazy. That's cool. My defense dice aren't fair anymore. But, like, if that becomes a thing, like, they can be like, okay, cool, Defenders don't have a mod slot now. No, like... Like, any ship that Stealth Device becomes a problem on, they're like, oh, that's unfortunate, no more mod slot. And they said they've got a schedule for it, like, 3 or 4 times a year, I think it is. So we're never going to be trapped in an awful unending meta, is the nice part.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it'll be between tournament seasons, just like releases, right? Because it would be really shitty to be in the middle of a regional season.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's why they said they, like, the one thing that would be great is if they did, like, a State of the Union, and, like, I think Magic does it, right? They do their, like, quarterly or monthly ban updates. So, like, and a State of the Union from the devs would be great. Or, I mean, I've said it's unfair to the devs that they're asked to be the developers, the head judges / marshals at tournaments, the PR for the game, too. Like, Those are all responsibilities to people who are grossly underpaid for what they do. Like, you might notice, like, I don't know, I'm a car guy, so I look at cars. Like, if you drive around the FFG parking lot at Worlds when all the devs are there and you all the FFG employees...
All right, we get it, Zach.
I'm just saying, I know. There's not a lot of fancy imports back
they
there.
They do honorable work.
Yeah,
it's a lifestyle choice.
Like, that would actually be the thing I'm like more concerned about. And like, didn't their Netrunner dev get like snatched away? Like, that's what I would be more concerned about. Like, GW sweeps in and here's like, hey, Alex, Frank, and Max, here's a blank check to come make 40K not suck anymore. And like, they're like, oh, okay. And then FFG's like, I mean, they're building their miniatures department. I think Alex talked about that like a year ago, that their miniatures department went from whoever happened to be working on a miniatures game at the moment to like 8 people. But that'd be the scarier thing right now, like, is if they just spontaneously lost all their experience in one fell swoop.
So I'm scrolling through the stuff again, and I mean, nothing looks crazy in 2.0. Seems fun. Seems fine.
So how much is Lone Wolf? Like, 1 point?
Right, yeah, it's kind of really? It's kind of bad, right?
One reroll? Like, Jesus. Who the hell?
Yeah, like, a reroll is not worth that much, right?
No.
So...
even in 2.0, like, even if that was free, I don't think I'd be taking that. Man.
The one that jumped out at me is, like, none of the EPTs seem that good.
Yeah, they all seem pretty bad.
Like, the force powers seem good. Like, for me, I'm cranky because it seems like they're doubling down on force users. And, like, my favorite, like, the whole reason I got into X-Wing and Star Wars, I was like, oh, you know who's pretty badass? Wedge Antilles. Does he have the force? No, he's a normal guy. Yeah. And he killed the Death Star.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think Fearless could maybe... see some play on the Protectorates?
Yeah, fear. I mean, especially because there's nothing else to occupy that slot. And that's converting a blank to a success. Like, if you look in 2.0, there's almost nothing that converts a blank to a success.
Okay, so that's what that does.
Yeah. Like, one of the ones that jumped out at me, yeah, outmaneuver doesn't require your bullseye. And the other one I was just thinking, like, Predator, like... You know, Predator is a fairly expensive EPT in 1.0, but, like, with how scaled back it is, like, if it is cheaper, it might still just be our go-to. Like, Juke seems really good. Anything that can hold Juke seems really good.
But you can't token stack, so, I mean, it seems like only Defenders, which will be priced very high, so we don't know where they will fit.
And yeah, I think Alex... Did Alex talk about those at, that... Europe thing he was at? I don't know. But, like, yeah, Juke Defenders does seem a little scary. Like, God, Defenders are stupid.
Yeah. We're gonna love them. Yeah, you can't... Yeah. It can't auto-evade 4 hits now, right?
Yeah, right.
Evade doesn't add, so as long as you roll 4 hits against them, you will hit them. So you won't be nearly as salty as 1.0.
How about Rexler with Juke? Oh, man.
I mean, that'd be good. What's the text on his ability?
After you perform an attack that hits, if you're evading, expose one of the defender's damage cards.
Oh, yeah, that's
that
good.
Looks good.
What does expose mean again?
It's flip it over.
It's flip it over? Okay.
Yeah, man.
So he's way better than 1.0.
Well, it's not hard to be.
Oh, yeah. Right. But that's pretty awesome ability. I got my cat out.
Get out of here, cat.
Well, for a second, I thought you said you're letting the cat out. I was like, what?
Barrage rockets definitely looks worse than unguided rockets.
What does?
Barrage rockets.
Oh, yeah.
That makes me sad, because I loved unguided rockets. It was just never... You couldn't play it in 1.0 because, you know, it was 1.0.
Yeah, wow, FFG. Clearly they hate Imperials because they never fixed the Punisher.
Right. Looks pretty good.
Am I doing that right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I try to understand the FFG hates the Imperials people.
I mean, I lean towards that side. Only because I look at this card Afterburner. Oh. And I'm like, you know, I think gaining a hole back with this R2 Astromech, or shield back with R2 Astromech is way better.
Yeah, except all of the Rebel ships are dumb and lame.
Yeah.
Like, I am pretty much on scum in 2.0 at this point, I think. Like, I'll be messing with scum and Imperials.
Yeah, I mean, scum. Yeah, so far I would say scum. So I thought about it. Scum looks the best because their faction was not cut in half.
Yeah.
Right, so they're going to be better until we see a bunch of waves come out.
I mean, one of the things, too, that jumps out at me is, like, so, especially, because, like, one of the rumored formats is the only stuff that's been re-released. Okay. So, the Fangs are disgustingly broken in fair X-Wing. Right. Like, if you're trying to play X-Wing as a fair and honest game, the Fangs are like, that's cute. And the scum have them out of the gate. So, like... I mean, and if it's Fangs chasing down Force users a bunch, like, I don't know. I think that's net cool. But, yeah. Yeah, like, that's the big one for me is I was like, that was one of the ships I was really curious. I'm like, all right, how are they going to tone those down? Oh, not much at all. All right.
I mean, the best they'll do is they'll actually cost Fenrir appropriately versus him getting a free pilot ability in 1.0. That'll probably cost points.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's hopefully what they'll do. Yeah, I agree. And, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. The hardest part is I can't tell what's good anymore.
Yeah. Well, and especially, like, we don't know points. So, I mean, the thing is you have to look at things that are good without the points, right? Like, yeah. What would you try to get on the board versus, like, because we'll back up and the points will sort themselves out pretty quickly. What sure. abilities or concepts are you still just trying to get on the board?
Double mods,
right? Because, like, yeah, exactly. And, like, I mean, think about 1.0 when stuff would get spoiled in the fan and sometimes the point cost would be covered. Mm-hmm. Like, you could still sort of guesstimate a ballpark for it. You were never like. Like, when the Fangs got spoiled, well, granted, when the Fangs got spoiled, we all played them wrong, but I was just going to keep picking on them because we were there, right? But, like when Kylo got spoiled, like, no one was like, Kylo's what, 35 1.0 points? Like, yeah. No one was like, oh, I'll play him if he's 34 points, but if he's 36 or more, I'm out.
Yeah.
Right?
Right? Like, they're like, oh, no, he's PS9, he can go wherever the hell he wants. So... Like that's actually the only thing I worry about scum is that they don't have, like, they just have a Sotch for Force users. And supposedly Disney/LFL is very particular about who has the Force, so they can't make up, like, Dave McForce user.
Dave McForcey Force?
I mean, my suggestion was if FFG wants to continue to go off the biggest forum threads, they should have the M22T. And that should have all Force users. That'd be the way to solve Scum's Force problem.
What's the M20? I'm going to Google that.
It's the crate gunship.
Okay.
I need to make my case for that in as many places as possible. Alex, if you're listening.
I'm sure he is. So what is this, like, when I look at the Lancer, like, they only get 2 attack dice out of their mobile arc?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me.
But then isn't it they still get 3 out the front?
That's what it looks like, yeah. That's interesting.
Asajj deserves it.
Yep.
Cause that's the Hawk too, with the Moldy Crow upgrade.
Does it? Yeah, what does that do again? I don't remember.
Doesn't it give it like a 3 attack die primary or something? It's in the Rebel kit.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, the moldy crow tile is really, really cool. And
yeah, you gain a primary of 3, but then you also can keep 2 up to 2 focus tokens.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's great.
I know some people named Zach Bart are upset that Kyle Katarn doesn't have the Force, but everyone else is like, no one cares about Kyle Katarn, so.
I mean, he could have had the Force. Cornhorn could have had the Force too. I mean,
oh man, I think it was Max who gave just like an awesome answer about Cornhorn and the Force. Which, by the way, yeah. Cornhorn is the worst Mary Sue character ever in the novels ever. It's so dumb. Because he was the one who said, they're like, Disney and LFL are really particular about who we give the Force to, but they're not particular about the names of pilots in the game. Mm-hmm. And if you, like, usually the Force is reserved for, like, game-breaking abilities, and shooting twice in a turn is pretty game-breaking.
Sure.
So if your headcanon demands that Cornhorn also have the Force and be the best pilot and be the best detective and be the best anything else, then that's how he has the Force. He shoots twice. I don't hate Cornhorn irrationally. It's not Nathan's fault. Shut up.
I mean, I hate Cornhorn. Whatever. some good stuff. Kanan and Jarrus crew looks the same or better. Not different.
Major Vermal looks pretty good. Same thing.
Some of the Imperial crew is really cool. I like Who's the one that hands out the stress?
Yeah, I don't remember the name.
Because you've also got Death Troopers that make stress not go away.
Yeah.
Like, so you can just...
Admiral Sloan.
Yeah, so you can, like, take Sloan on, like... Because they said they said, and I asked in the... Well, Hassan asked for me because I was working during the AMA about the Phantom. And they're like, yeah, the Phantom's going to be like a cheap crew carrier that still carries its weight. So, like, you can take Sloan on a Phantom and a TIE Mini Swarm and a Reaper. So I don't know how many ships you can end up fitting there because, like, points and stuff. But presumptively, you can, like, I'm sure you can get 4 or 5 total ships in there, I would imagine. So yeah. It's like, oh, my TIE died. Here's 2 stress tokens that never go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to stay at range 1 of them.
Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely an interactive mechanic, and, like, I really, really like that. But, like, flying the Reapers, like, that seems so cool with the medium base and the pre-boost and everything, uh-huh. Like...
Yeah, they spoiled the dial for that, right? We can all see it, because the stupid kit, or the... It's out, right?
Yeah.
It's been released. So,
oh, well, no, the Reaper dial, people have it in their hands. It came with the Wave 14.
Yeah. I don't know why I haven't looked at it yet.
I just got mine the other day. I was late to it.
2 hards are now red, right?
They were white in 1.0, but now they're red. The one hard. Right,
so it's not going to be nearly as good, in my opinion.
Yeah, you really need that one.
It's going to
play like
a normal ship that has to boost beforehand or stress itself sometimes. Though the pilot abilities, Faroff and the higher pilots going are definitely better in 2.0. Because it just says no green tokens, which is a lot easier to accomplish than having a jam token on something in 1.0. So that'll be pretty good. Speaking of Reapers, in 1.0, have you guys seen any good Reaper lists out there?
Yes.
literally anything that's like double Reaper race, I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
One of my locals is on my boy Alex Mogensen. Shout out at Mogensen. He is on Double Reaper Whisper. And yeah. It was hilarious. I'd still go down to the store to hang out with people. So he was actually just dumpstering Nathan so bad the other day.
Nice, no way.
I was laughing at the exact moment because Nathan, we were all talking about like different factions and stuff, and Nathan's like, I don't understand people who like stick to one faction. And I'm like, Nathan Idy, as Corona's entire board is jammed.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm just curious because I haven't played the Reaper much, and maybe I'll investigate into it.
I mean, it's 1.0, so you're free now, but like you don't have to. No one's making you. You're free. Alex's had Vermeil with VI, Whisper with Jammer, Krennic, VI of course. Mm-hmm. And then he had a generic, and I think both the Reapers had ISB slice around them.
Yeah.
Yeah. The really great thing about ISB is it checks itself individually. So, like, if you roll up to a ship that has a token, like to pick on Korn again, like if Korn's sitting there with his target lock, you can jam, bust the target lock, and then you can jam him again. Yeah. And now he's pre-jammed.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, another one is you can fit a Palp Reaper and then one with Death Troopers with the fully loaded Whisper. I don't know if Death Troopers is better than Slicer or not, but it's a good expertise check.
Yeah, that's a good point. How about, do you get lightweight frame on the Reapers in those lists?
And the Palp ones, no.
Nah, what's the point?
So I can't remember about... I don't think Alex had Palp. I don't think... Oh, no, it's 1.0. I've exhausted my ability to think about it now.
I still have at least two store championships and a Gen Con to think about.
Retired.
Yeah, lucky guy.
You can stop at any time. No one's forcing you to play 1.0, Phil.
I mean, I hadn't already paid for an Airbnb and tickets and stuff.
I mean, I did all that for Gen Con, too. I'm just either going to hang out and shout at people and make Krennic memes or... I don't know. I've been off the wagon on L5R because of work lately. I haven't much time to play anything, but I've been trying to like get a training montage for L5R to show up at the Grand Kotai. But I'm nice. Also going to play Unicorn, so I'm not sure how willing I am to get my face kicked in over and over again.
Sure. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Doesn't seem bad. I don't know. I mean, I'm excited for X-Men to be changed.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I could bring myself to do it, 1.0 is not that bad. But, or it's all so ridiculous it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's a better way to put it.
Dude, I've been having a blast playing Sword Champ season. Just busting out a bunch of stuff I'd never play normally. I've been having tons of fun.
People aren't playing Miranda as much anymore.
People aren't playing as much Miranda as much. There's still a couple Ghost Fens and whatnot, but everyone's
It's because Ghost Fen's kind of fun to play, you know? Like, blowing stuff up.
Hey, I think Ghost Fen is kind of fun to play. I played it, like, twice against my brother-in-law helping him practice for the Vancouver BC Regional. I was like, this is kind of fun. not very challenging, but I thought it was kind of fun.
Oh, come on now. Like our good friend Nick Lamar always says, turrets take skill. He even wrote that on his ghost.
I mean, it's definitely more fun than Miranda, Lowrick, and whatever.
Yeah, Zach.
Hey, that's my baby you're talking about.
I mean, just tell because me the it's last killing time
everything we love.
It.
Huh?
Tell me the last time you had fun playing it.
Well, I mean, I didn't play it at Worlds. Did you hear my quote about when people ask me why I didn't play Miranda at Worlds?
No, I didn't hear it.
So, people say, you know, you need to dance with the girl that brought you there, right? But sometimes the girl that brought you there put on a bunch of weight, and it turns out she's actually a fat, evil bitch killing everything you love. And you need to put some distance between you.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I'm looking forward to Worlds 2019, which will be the first one I take serious since Worlds 2015. I don't know, I'm sure I'll be out of the country for like 3 weeks again then too, but...
Sure. Conveniently.
There was only one Worlds I had the opportunity to try hard for. It wasn't this one.
I mean, I've only gotten to go to one, so...
I feel like I've seen you at more than one.
Nope. But
time and space are confusing and difficult, so they're definitely not my strengths.
Yep. No. Yeah. It's just too far away. Yeah.
You're in Michigan, dude. You're not that much further.
That lake's in between.
That's true. Actually,
you have to drive around it, and it comes.
I suppose. Yeah. Michigan. Yeah. Oh no, that is ridiculous. Never mind. That's right. That sucks. Well, if next year you want to camp out at my house halfway there beforehand, you're certainly welcome to.
Sure. Sure.
Man, Michigan sucks. Do you guys have to fly that then?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm in the perfect position in the Midwest to go to the major events. Except Nationals, which is buried on the East Coast.
Yeah, I don't think that one counts anymore, because it's in the East Coast. I think we're tangenting.
Just that what we do?
Well, yeah, that is all we do here anyway. Well, you hardly said anything, Paul. You've been begging to come on for so long. Don't you have anything you want to close out with?
When have I begged?
Oh, I got screenshots. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
Post them in the Scum and Villainy is the best podcast thread.
No, he actually listens to the crates more than he listens to us, I think, Zach. Although he's been tuning out now with all the Mario Tennis going on.
One of my buddies just texted me. I need to read this verbatim because it's relevant. He goes, "What's up with the Carolina Crates group being an ever-changing dumpster fire?" I'm like, how is that different than normal?
Right.
Chaos Elmo is my spirit animal.
All right, boys. Well, thanks a lot for coming on. Thank you, everyone, or anyone who listened.
Just don't tell him I'm on.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah, thanks for letting me on.
Yeah. Anytime, Phil.
Thanks for having me on.
Anytime, Phil. It was fun. You can come back whenever you want. Other two.
All right, come back tomorrow.
The other two guys, you have to get clearance, but. Phil,
Ricky said I can come on whenever I want.
Ricky says that to everyone.
That's fair.
All right, y'all.
You guys can come on my podcast whenever.